Welcome to SAE's Cybersecurity Podcast, Understanding the Cybersecurity Regulatory Environment. My name is Patty Cray with SAE International and the SAE Cybersecurity Knowledge Hub. Today, we'll discuss the global cybersecurity and privacy liability and regulatory concerns for autonomous vehicle development and deployment. My guest is Mike Morgan with McDermott, Will & Emery. He'll share his thoughts on how government organizations from all over the world are working to regulate connected vehicles for maximum security and the associated challenges to both regulators and the industry. Mike is a partner and co-leader of Global Privacy and Cybersecurity at McDermott and one of the nation's leading lawyers in cybersecurity incident response. Mike has guided clients through some of the largest and most complex data breaches, including state-sponsored attacks, breaches involving more than 50 million records, and incidences affecting persons in more than 100 countries around the world. He counsels clients on enterprise-wide programs for compliance with U.S. and international regulations relating to cybersecurity and data privacy, including compliance with EU's General Data Protection Regulation and Data Protection Directive. Mike has handled scores of privacy and cybersecurity-related cases, including more than 100 lawsuits involving claims under the FCRA, UDAAP statutes, and consumer protection statutes. Mike is a certified information privacy professional by the International Association of Privacy Professionals. Welcome, Mike.
Thank you, Patty. It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you too. Today, connected cars generate large amounts of data about a car's performance as well as consumer behavior. With autonomous vehicles, one can imagine that even more data will be generated and shared between other driverless cars, road infrastructure, third-party operators like ride-sharing businesses, as well as back-office operations at automakers and other suppliers. With all of this data being collected and shared, this means cybersecurity and the protection of consumer data is a significant issue. For autonomous cars to move from concept and testing to everyday reality, let's talk about how regulations and government policies are changing to meet these challenges. Mike, can we talk about the key considerations arising from the U.S. and EU and really the rest of the world regarding cybersecurity and data privacy? So what are some of those major factors that these governments are taking into account?
There are really a number of things that governments have to consider. On the one hand, there is a sense that the technology is driving the innovation in the space, that there's a real momentum behind it. And governments are aware that this technology is going to be developed, and they don't want to lose out on the jobs and the opportunities that exist in their jurisdictions to have the innovation occur there. So governments, first and foremost, are sort of limited by the reality that if they overregulate in the area, that innovation can move to other jurisdictions. That said, there are a variety of sort of conflicting considerations that come into play here. So, for example, if you take the U.S., we are a relatively speaking regulation-light jurisdiction. We want to be the place where innovation occurs. The same is true for the other jurisdictions, but if you look at jurisdictions in Asia, such as China, or jurisdictions in Europe, they're looking at things through a slightly different prism. So taking Europe, for example, the UK seems to be taking more of a hands-off approach, like the U.S. is, but if you look at some other jurisdictions, including Germany, there's a little bit more of a willingness to regulate in this space. So I think that governments are looking at a whole cluster of factors in trying to decide how to move into this space, and for the time being, they're moving at a very measured pace.
Mm-hmm. So with that variety of hands off, or maybe a little bit more, or a little more hands on, is that changing, or are they adapting to that pace of change that's happening?
Well, I think that the technology moves a lot faster than the regulatory environment, so we need to live with, for the next few years, the reality that in all likelihood our regulatory environment is going to be a few years behind the technology. Regulators have a very difficult job in that they don't want to stifle the innovation. They want to exercise oversight, but it is such a fast-moving area that just keeping up with the developments is a real challenge for them. And government regulators, and there are plenty of really good people working at government regulators on these issues, they do face a difficult task of tracking a very fast-moving technology environment.
So are there other challenges besides keeping up with the technology that regulators are facing?
Well, I think that in the area of autonomous vehicles, one of the challenges is that if you have regulators that are previously focused on, for example, automotive safety, they're now having to deal with a sort of fundamentally different set of issues that are caused by vehicle autonomy. And in the cybersecurity space, we often speak in terms of attack surfaces, which is, you know, what is it that an attacker can go after? How broad is the environment that an attacker can go after? And when you're dealing with autonomous vehicles, you have to address the fact that there is a fairly broad attack surface. And I think that regulators have a difficult job in terms of keeping up with that and tracking where things are going. And the idea of coming up with a set of regulations to dictate how it is the company should go about approaching these issues in any degree of detail is a very daunting prospect.
That's really interesting. Now let's shift gears and talk about developing corporate cybersecurity and privacy compliance frameworks. So what should an organization do really to stay abreast of these regulations and construct that framework for their organization?
You know, it's important to distinguish between privacy and cybersecurity in this context because the programs are often very different. On the privacy side, what we're really talking about is managing the various data flows that are generated from vehicle connectivity and having companies that are then trying to ensure that those data flows are managed in a way that is lawful. So, for example, if you're an American producer of a connected car application and that application is running in Europe and that data concerning the application is flowing from Europe to the US, you need to have a compliance structure in place that allows that data to be transferred lawfully. Because as a general matter, in the absence of compliance measures, the transfer of personal data from Europe to the US is against EU law. From a privacy compliance perspective, automotive companies need to have programs in place to manage where it is, to understand where their data is coming from. They have devices that are being distributed perhaps around the world on a global basis, and how that data flows around the world requires a compliance program. And the way that organizations tend to do it is they stay abreast of generally the developments that are going on around the world in data protection law. And in instances where they need to have compliance programs in place to assess those laws, and when there is a meaningful change, such as changes that are going on in European law and laws around the world, especially in Asia and China in particular, they need to have triggers to implement compliance programs to achieve compliance with those changing regulations. On the cybersecurity front, as a general matter, there isn't much cybersecurity legal regulation around the world. Much of it has to do with sort of general statements of law that apply to what need to be done to protect against vulnerabilities, network vulnerabilities in particular jurisdictions. There is a lot of attention right now that is going on in the cybersecurity space as it pertains to Europe, which has a new data protection law that includes cybersecurity provisions in it. Same thing with China, which has recently seen significant changes in laws relating to the transfer of data out of China. So on the cybersecurity front, for autonomous vehicle development programs, it is important to have mechanisms in place, compliance mechanisms, to track the changing regulatory landscape here in the US, Asia, and elsewhere, so that there is a thoughtful compliance program at the company.
So how might companies do that? What kind of resources would they use? Would they have dedicated resources within their company, or would that be something that is best done from a firm like yours?
Well, I think it depends on the organization and the size of the organization. Certainly, larger organizations with more resources are going to have both more resources internally and more resources externally, such as through outside counsel. If you're talking about, you know, for many of the automotive companies, they have been operating for many years with sort of an increasing connectivity of their vehicles. And within the autonomous vehicle development program, what we see is you're going to have a massive expansion of the data flows, which means that for many of these organizations, issues related to cybersecurity move from being kind of an important consideration to being a critical issue for the organization. So I think that organizations are adapting to the additional cybersecurity risk that arise from increased connectivity and autonomy features. So I think that a lot of them are turning to external sources to assist in that. They also are, just as an organization, having to be more mature in terms of their overall compliance programs and the way that cybersecurity gets factored into product development, especially in the area of autonomous vehicle development.
So I want to go back to a point that you were talking about earlier about the laws in the U.S., that there's very little regulations on cybersecurity, but in other areas of the world, they have more. Do you believe there'll be more in the U.S.?
I think that there will be. I think that the U.S. in general is probably more inclined as a sort of a jurisdiction to adopt a more collaborative, more sort of hands-off approach. You know, and that's not to, I don't want to overstate this point, because there are cybersecurity regulations that are in place that apply to autonomous vehicle development and to vehicle connectivity. And there are regulators that stand at the ready. So when I say regulation light, I'm really referring more to comparative to other jurisdictions. I think that there's likely to be increased attention to cybersecurity issues, and we are seeing that on the state level. And on the national level, we're likely to see some legislation here in the next year, maybe couple years, that are likely to include cybersecurity provisions that are going to be relevant to autonomous vehicle development. So we will need to see what those regulations provide. It wouldn't surprise me if the initial round of them have to do with additional reporting and requiring sort of thoughtful assessments of cybersecurity vulnerabilities. My point was more that we're not likely to see really prescriptive, like detailed descriptions of what need to be done in the cybersecurity space. It's going to be left to companies to really develop their programs. And I think it's going to be incumbent on companies to develop very robust programs for cybersecurity, again, given the attack surface that would exist for autonomous vehicles.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds to me like what you're saying is that government and industry are going to need to collaborate on these kinds of things, because it's not going to be a one size fits all. It's going to be here's a process or an overarching philosophy, you know, on how to make these things happen. So how do you see government and industry working together on these things?
I can see additional areas for where there can be collaboration between government and industry. The OBD2 example that I think, you know, we should talk about at some point during this discussion is a good example of government-industry collaboration. Mm-hmm. I do think that it's important to talk about a real concern when it comes to autonomous vehicle development and regulation, and that is that there is an imperative to push out autonomous vehicle products now, and yet when incidents do occur involving autonomous vehicles, they receive a tremendous amount of attention. So a fatality involving an autonomous vehicle feature is going to receive infinitely more press coverage than a fatality that arises from risks that we're really quite used to, such as driver inattentiveness or intoxication or other issues like that. And there is a real, I think the industry should be concerned about the risk of prescriptive cybersecurity regulation that occurs as a result of an overblown reaction to an incident. And I think it's going to be important for the industry to be able to articulate how it goes about developing autonomous vehicle technologies and how it takes into consideration cybersecurity issues and some of the issues that arise for the first time as a result of the development of autonomous vehicle features. Issues such as the risk of state-sponsored attacks, system-wide attacks that have implications on physical implications on how the vehicle performs. It's going to be very important for the industry to be thoughtful and careful about how it intends to prepare its defense to attacks coming from a whole variety of stakeholders in response to autonomous vehicle accidents, because there is sufficient political clout behind stakeholders that would be opposed to autonomous vehicle development and that might profit from the failure of autonomous vehicle development, that we need to be really concerned about the sort of record that we're making on our cybersecurity program development for autonomous vehicles and what sort of defense we're going to have to attacks that we failed to take into consideration, safety considerations, and especially those relating to vehicle autonomy.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned collaboration of the OBD, talking about OBD, and I don't know if you're aware, but late last year, at the urging of the, NHTSA, the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, SAE asked to start a working group, a standards working group, to explore ways, to harden that OBD2 port. And SAE did stand up the Data Link Connector Vehicle Security Committee. And that body is, composed of, automobile and heavy truck OEMs, suppliers, associations, and representatives from government regulators. Every car and truck that's been manufactured and sold in the U.S. since 1996 has this OBD port. And the strategy behind the system, is to monitor the emissions-related components and some other components to detect defects and malfunctions and then alert the driver to that problem. And, of course, the system then stores a fault code to identify that defect, and this code's then retrieved at a later time, for diagnosis. But as you can expect, this OBD2 is heavily used by professional mechanics, but now there are consumer-oriented products that are taking advantage of this data collection reporting capabilities that, is never designed really to envision that there were other bad actors or malicious activity going on in that.
Right. And, Patty, that's a really good example of industry government collaboration in an area where you have an industry-wide standard, an industry-wide mode of porting into the vehicle. And as we move to vehicle autonomy, the ways to get at the data, or maybe a better way to put it is the volume of data flowing out from the vehicle increases dramatically. It increases exponentially as you have more and more data exchanged. And exchanged in multiple ways. So, you mentioned the multiple sort of users of the OBD2 port. Well, think about that in the context of the various data flows that would be provided as a result of vehicle autonomy. Your vehicle is communicating information about its location, its direction, its intentions, its user, the music that is being listened to, the driver preferences. All of these data elements are being communicated out from the vehicle. And I mentioned earlier about how that affects the attack surface of the vehicle and the vulnerability of the vehicle to attack, but also to pull on a point that that you just made, it also generates streams of data that can be useful for sort of a variety of other consumer purposes. The applications of those are things that are going to, I think, keep us busy for the next couple decades as we make sense out of these additional data streams. And we start to realize the potential applications of these additional data streams. But for media purposes, and really for my purposes, the things that we're really working on are focusing on the privacy and cybersecurity frameworks that sort of allow for the use and security of those data streams.
Mm-hmm. So the thing that I'm not sure if we touched on a little bit, but we talked about kind of near-term regulatory environment. I don't know if you have any thoughts on, for let's say, look out a decade. Let's say the promise of autonomous vehicles are here. Do you see that environment differently?
You know, it's very dangerous to make these sorts of predictions, but I do have one sort of particular overriding concern, which is that autonomous vehicles and highly connected vehicles have vulnerability to more systemic attacks and ransomware type attacks, state-sponsored attacks, attacks that may be the result of terrorism that are directed to particular features. I think that if you look out a decade, the connected car environment is likely to sort of mature in ways that are somewhat analogous to many of our other networked environments. And if you look at kind of the way that the internet has swept across society and around the globe over the past 40 or so years, you have these new environments. And as they become highly connected, they become susceptible to more mature, more robust attacks. And it's fair to say that there are probably countries out there that are going to work pretty hard to have backdoors and to have hooks into our autonomous vehicle infrastructure. And, you know, looking 10 years out, I think that we may have a more mature appreciation of those risks, not just in the autonomous vehicle space, but really across a whole variety of connected environments. And we may see some regulatory developments that address those issues. You know, more thoughtful and more valuable sharing of information from the government concerning foreign state-sponsored attacks and how they're occurring. A more robust development of, for example, white hat hacks of our system. So, you know, friendly attacks on our system to try to develop vulnerabilities or try to identify vulnerabilities and to respond to them on an industry-wide basis. The OBD2 port issue is a really good example of government-industry collaboration. I think we will likely see more of those to address families of risk that would be affecting the autonomous vehicle infrastructure. So it wouldn't surprise me if we see a more robust regulatory environment for the identification and remediation of cyber vulnerabilities and a more meaningful, more helpful framework for industry government collaboration.
So thank you, Mike. That sounds like we've got plenty of room for collaboration and as well as developing compliance programs as these regulations come about and are matured. So again, I'd like to thank my guest, Mike Morgan of McDermott, for discussion and appreciate you and your firm being a part of the community, helping us to understand the implications of the changing regulatory and compliance environment in the automotive industry.
Thanks for having me, Patty. I enjoyed our conversation.
Thank you. And SAE is also a resource for professionals interested in learning more about cybersecurity and transportation. SAE has developed the Cybersecurity Knowledge Hub on SAE Mobilis, the platform for mobility engineering resources. The Knowledge Hub has everything a professional is seeking, from technical publications to events and training, and a directory of companies with expertise in this important area. To learn more about these resources, please go to www.sae.org/knowledgehubs. So you've been listening to SAE's Cybersecurity Podcast, Understanding the Cybersecurity Regulatory Environment, with my guest, Mike Morgan, partner and co-leader of Global Privacy and Cybersecurity at McDermott, Will & Emery. I'm Patty Cray with SAE International. Thank you for listening.